Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Yud. We're holding the middle of the sugya of Kichal. Okay, so remember that we started with a machlokas rishonim over here about whether the entire sugya is, as Rashi said, a reflection of the din of Siliya, in which case when the Gemara is being matir Kichal, it's being matir if you were not Kireya, only where it was Salui. And according to other Rishonim, we're talking about even Bishol, but that doesn't mean that we would be matired if it was Mevushal with other meat. We'd be matired if it was Mevushal with itself. Okay, Lumaisa, we are Machmir indeed, not matired with other things. But there's some interesting Halakha Lumaisa events that took place in the Gemara, and there were also certain Gezeras that the Gemara is going to discuss today about Kichal, and two Lashonis, which are very Nageya, which one we pass in like Halakha. What happened was like this. He saw like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had heard the maimer of Rav that Kichal is Asur. Remember that we had two Lashonis yesterday. The first Lashon was that he was Matir. If you did not, you neglected to tear it. He ended up cooking it. So he said that the Kichal was Mutter in the first Lashon. We brought all kinds of Rayas, questions to the Mishnah, Rayas from the Braita. The second Lashon was that he said Kichal was Asur. And again, we tried to support him from the Mishnah, questions to the Braita. Rabbi Elazar had heard the Lashon of Isser, and he was rather shocked by that, because Rashi learns, because he understood that it seems to be against the Mishnah and the Braita, the way the Braita, we ended up being a riot to the first Lashon of Rav, which is that it's a mutter. He was wondering what the source would have been for the tzak, supposedly, of Rav, that it was Asur. So when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Ze'iri. Now this is how Rashi understands it. Tosfos understands that this whole discussion had nothing to do with a sugya earlier in the two Lashonis of Rav, but rather he heard that Rav had Asur Tchal totally, not had Asur Tchal that had been cooked without Kriya and Shesiva Erev and Ticha Bekotel, but that Rav Asur Tchal even subsequently, even itself, which Bechalal no one had ever heard in such a time. And that, he was really shocked. There's nothing to do with the two Lashonis of Rav. Yeah. And Kichal was totally awesome. So that was very shocked. So when he came up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Ze'iri. And that was in the Mokom, where Rav had originally learned before he came up to Bavel. So he asked Ze'iri, Amarle, Ika Tana Dat Naya L'Rav Kichal? Is there a Tana here that Rav had learned by and that had taught him that Kichal is awesome? Again, either according to Rashi, Bidi Avad, without Kriya and the Tira, or according to Tosfos, even after doing the Kriya of the Tira. So they pointed him to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, by whom Rav had been makabel various halakhot. So he went to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi and he said, can you explain to me where this business came from? Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yitzchak told him, I can explain it to you, but it has nothing to do with me. Ani lo shaniti lo kal kol ikra. I never, ever told him any shita that Kal was asur. What happened was, I heard subsequently that Rav, when he went to Bavel, he made it the gezeira because of a takana that he found in a particular place where people were not being noyeg, a iser of basar b'chol of bichlal, which was outrageous, and he felt that there had been a gradual degradation of their sensitivity to this whole halacha. Therefore, he needed to go to an extreme to reestablish the dinim of basar b'chol. So what happened was that Rav became matzah. Rav found an open valley, meaning it's a lashon of where everybody just walks straight through. It's usually what we use as a bika. It's a public valley. Uvegadar got there, and he put up fences in order to avoid, because the maisa was that Rav came to Tattlefish. Now, if you come to Tattlefish, you can expect it's raining going on. And indeed, he hears a woman asking her friend, how much milk do you need for cooking a pound of meat? That struck him as a little bit strange, to say the least. So, Shamala Yita de Kamala Chaverta Riva de Bisra Kama Chalba Baila Bishule. Omar, so he says to himself, what? No Gemiri, the Basar B'chol of Asur? I don't even know that you don't eat any milk? So he decided he's going to stay there a little while and fix up the education in that place. And meanwhile, he was gazer on them. The Ka'asur Lukachle Yasert. Any contact with Basar B'chol, because once people are in that situation, they no longer know how to make differentiation. And that's very common. It's a very common reaction of people. You know, somebody who's been totally out of an iser b'chol, they usually go to extremes. They just send themselves. It's an either-or situation, sort of a Baal Tshuva complex. Either-or. So he made it an either-or. Now, Rav Kahana, Matni Haki, that's how Rav Kahana says over the story of Ze'iri, and that the only makor in Rav's Isser of Chal was this Gezerah in Tattlefish. It's not really Tattlefish or Tattlefush, but I can't read it. Now, Rav Yossi Barabba. Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba, Matne, Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba had a different story. That actually, they pointed out Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi to Rabbi Elazar. He went and asked Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi said, yes, actually there was such a makar. I told him over a makar like that in the din of a kechal of a meinech. So where an animal is actually nursing, so then there is an awful lot of milk in the udder, and there you just have the milk that's sort of flowing all over. And over there, I told him that we're makbid not to cook the chal, according to Rashi, without, even tzliya, without the tichan. If you do it without it, in the end, you're not even allowed to eat it b'diavad. And I'll tell you how this whole thing got messed up. Rav went to learn by Rabbi Chiya. Now, the problem is that Rabbi Chiya is extremely advanced. And one of the problems of advanced people is they think that the people that they're teaching are intelligent. So what happened is that Rabbi Chiya said over to Rav the halacha of Chal, obviously referring to Chal of a Meineke, thinking that Rav would be intelligent enough to figure out that he couldn't possibly be referring to a non-Meineke Chal because it would run against the whole sugya. But Rav wasn't really able to define Rabbi Chiya. So what happened was that Mipulosh Rabbi Chiya, because of Rabbi Chiya's extensive brilliance, Shana like Chal Stam, he thought that he could just say Chal Stam or rely on his listener to recognize the difference between a kakal of a meneket and a kakal of a normal animal. But the whole thing really was a mistake. So now, according to this lashon, there really would be a nakamina of a kakal of a meneket, which we don't pass. So we paskin according to that first lashon. What happened was that Ravin and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef had both come to Rav Papi's house, and he brought them a tafshil of chal. Very interesting tafshil, which has this nice taste of baser b'chalav in it, which is just what Yalta would have enjoyed, since she always wanted to have some cheeseburger. And so they brought it in front of them, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef ate, but Ravin was too frum to eat, so he refused to eat. Could be you want to move down a little bit. Just have to take more risk. So Abaya was outraged that Ravin was too frum to eat at Rav Papi's house. So he said, this idiot, Ravin Tachla, this is a guy that buries his own children, but he's got a little bit of something learned. Since he buries his own children, his mind is completely warped. He doesn't have time to think things out. Or just it's dumb an insult. Why didn't he eat? Amaylo Akha, what he thinks coming into a house where he's got to be frummer than they are. You know who Rav Papi's wife is? Mirte, Dufita, forget it, you don't know the Rav Papi, but what they get you in the kitchen is a function of the woman of the home. Now, who is the woman of the home? Rav Papi's wife is the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha was known to be a morei d'uvda havi. He was a person who was absolutely clear, was a tremendous Yarei Shamayim, was a gevaldik, a talmid chacham. It's crazy not to eat something that Rav Yitzchak Nafcha's daughter serves you. I don't know what he's thinking. And surely she never would have served something. Ilav the Shmiel Ami Beinash, if she hadn't heard in her own home where she grew up that it's okay, lo havi after, she never would have done something like that. If Ravin thinks that he's smarter not only than Rav Papi, but than Rav Papi's wife, who comes from Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, she get out of here. Besura lo achli kachli. Now, Lamaisin Sura, which was Rav's makom, because of this chumra that Rav had set up, so they didn't eat chal. But in Pumbedita, Achri Kachri, which was, of course, the Iker Din. They didn't have this special gezerah that Rav had seen the terrible effects of people who had started off by being Makel and cheeseburger Kal and ended up eating at McDonald's. So Mamela, they didn't have the gezerah on Kal. This next piece is an absolutely fabulous Gemara. In terms of the personalities of the people involved, my Rebbe Reb Chaim used to get up and used to talk about this. This is a mamish, like on Yom Kippur, to my Rebbe Yom Kippur, to talk about this mamish in years. It's an amazing Gemara. See, here's Rami Bar Tamari. And because the Tamar and the Dekel, in the common language they call Tamar and Dekel in Aramaic, so they used to call him Rami Bar Dikuli. Anyway, he was from Pumbedita, and he came to Surah. He came to Surah, he arrived on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, everybody, of course, is making a suda, Erev Yom Kippur, and he doesn't have anywhere to eat. And, as we're going to see, he's exceedingly poor, so he can't go to a restaurant. But he's got a great idea. Nobody in Surah eats chal. They all throw the chal in the garbage. So he goes to the garbage, and he takes it. Fantastic. He's got himself a whole pile of chal. He's going to eat like a king. So if everybody throws their chal out in the garbage, well, so he comes, he takes it out of the garbage. And Achlinu, he eats it. Now, of course, they arrest him because, what? Eating chal in Surah, a chutzpah? And they drag him into court in front of Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, what the heck do you think you're doing? Am I Tavidachi? I come from Pumbedita, where Rav Yehuda is the Rosh Shiva, and we eat it. So Rav Chisda says, oh, you eat it. What about the fact that when you're in our area, you're supposed to be machmir and not to eat it in front of us? I went chutz l'tchum. What you guys are so hot under the collar? I went out chutz l'tchum, and I ate it. Oh, yeah? U'bemat vitino. Probably stole wood. How did you cook it? What do you mean, went out chutz l'tchum? So where did you find any materials cooking with chutz l'tchum? I use wurtzani. I used leftover, these were grapes that had been already processed, and they'd been lying around, and they dried out, so I used that. Aha! Look at what I'm oritz. How do you know it wasn't Yayin Esach? Some goy made it? Then it's Osir Bano. They're going to get him at something. We're gonna nail you. So he dimmed me Yayin Esach, have I? It was 12, after 12 months. I could tell it was totally dry. After 12 months, there's no Easter of Yayin Esach for burning. Oh, yeah, well, maybe you stole it. How do you know that the owner wasn't going to come and collect it? So did the Gezel have it? There was no problem with Gezel. Huge Bailim have it. It was clearly useless to anybody because it was covered with mold. The Katkuba Chilfi. So then Rav Chisda sees he's not wearing tefillin. Get him on the... Chaz Yadalav Manach Tefillin. He says, my time alo Manach Tefillin. Listen, I have very terrible stomach trouble. And Reb Yehuda says that a choli me'ayim is part of a tefillin. So then he looks, checks his tzitzis, of course. He sees he's not wearing tzitzis. Chazid alavikar amitat kuti. And how come you don't wear tzitzis? Oh, it's amazing. It's like classic. Mamish, straight into Lakewood. Talit shu'ulahi. I don't own this piece of clothing. The Amr of Yehuda, Talit Shula Koshlo Shimyum, Turamina Tzitzit. 30 days. The truth is, Midirites, it's always water, because it's not yours. Lachem Tzitzit, but even Midirabana. There's no Chumrah to have to put on Tzitzit for the first 30 days.
It's all Rav Yehuda.
Meanwhile, in this courtroom, they bring in this guy who's not properly taking care of his parents. He's considering sending them to an old age home, you understand. So they hang him up, kaftu, and they're going to give him malchus. Because you're the best and forces people to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. You didn't want to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. Omarlu, so Rami Bar Tamri says to them, what are you guys doing? Let the guy go. Shovkuhu. The Tanya Kol Mitzvot Aseh, Shazmatan Schara Betzida, wherever the Torah defines Sachar. So over here it says, L'man Yarichu Yamecha. If the Torah defines the Sachar, it means that it's offering the guy this opportunity. You do this, this is what you get. You don't do it, you're not going to get a long life. But that means it's out of your hands. So, Ein Beitin Shalamata Muzarin, although you guys are not responsible to make sure that this guy's Mechabit his parents. In my city, Rishami says Farish. It means Muzharin Alei means you're not Mechuyev. You can if you want to. And since Rav Chisda obviously wanted to, his whole attitude over here was sort of, let's figure out a way to get them. But, so therefore, others learn that according to Rishami, Shakuhu means not don't do anything, but you've already done more than enough. Because in tying him up, you already were Mavazim. And even the Rishami is not Mechayev to force him until he actually does it. You have a right to get involved, but you don't have a right even to feed the sheet of the Rishami to go and to actually give him malchus. Omar Leis, Rav Chisda says to him, you seem to be a hell of a smart guy. Omar Leis, this is smart? There's no competition here because everybody's stupid. But if you'd come around where I come from, where Rabbi Yehuda is, then you'd see smart. I mean, over here, how can you even express smartness? There, achvira lechachur, boy, there I'll show you how smart I am. But over here, I mean, you're dealing with dumb cups. What am I going to be? That's how some learn. Because they read the word churpa'i, my smartness. Either that's because there's no competition, so you can't really show off how smart you are when there's a bunch of idiots around you. Or they learn ba'atrid revyuda, meaning where I come from, because with people in their own area, then they can really, they're in their element. Here I'm not in my element, so I'm just sort of, you know. But I don't think that that's the pshat. Personally, I believe it's not churpa'i, it's churpa'i. I'll show you intelligent people. You think I'm intelligent. You come to Rabbi Yehuda's place. There you'll see intelligent. I mean, yeah, I'm a small example of people that are bright. Around here, you never get to see such things. I understand. So come over to Pumbedisa and we'll teach you a thing or two. Anyway, so what he says, try to imagine. He would get up there in Yiddish and say, try to imagine the situation. It's a guy who's running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Because he can't put on tefillin. The time he puts on tefillin, he has to take off his tefillin. He's going and running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. He's so poor that he doesn't even own a shirt. He's got nothing to eat, and he's going to go to the garbage pail, take out a kal. Erev Yom Kippur, he's going to go out of town with his stomach trouble, eat filthy kal that's been cooked on completely rotten and moldy material, but he's not going to ask anybody a meal. That's independent. Erev Yom Kippur. Who wouldn't take him in for a meal? It comes at Erev Yom Kippur. Can I join your siddur? Because I just arrived with these. I'm very poor. Of course, please. I mean, who doesn't want to show God that you're a good guy, Erev Yom Kippur? He's not going to ask, because this is a man who's not interested in being dependent on these idiots. But, and you see, the whole way that he talks is, you know, you have a problem. It's like very calm. You have a problem? Yeah, why aren't you wearing tefillin? Oh, man, it's about to be a tefillin. Any other problems? No, tzitzis. No, shula. Any other problem? The only time that he actually opens up his mouth to address them is when he gives them an order to get the guy down. Where he's like, yeah, somebody else. But he is completely free-spirited. This is Erev Yom Kippur. This is the darg of a Talmud Chochem that attains this level of, you know, find the same thing with, you know, I always tell over the story of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's grave. It's an absolutely astonishing story. You know, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair wouldn't have, we had the Erev Gemara earlier. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair wouldn't be netted from anybody. So Rebbe invited him, and he refused. In the end, he agreed to come, but it worked out, and Rebbe started to cry. But it just worked out that he shouldn't eat by, because he really didn't want to. Because he never eats by anybody, really. So then that's what the Gemara says. I mean, Yom Shamat al Daita, he was completely and totally independent. Wouldn't tolerate any kind of dependency on anyone. So it is. Wasn't because of effort. She had what to eat. So this was an amazing story, which all of you who were here long ago know the Maisa up front, where the people from Toronto decided that they're building this beautiful tzion on the grave of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Yeah, they're going to build this beautiful tzion on the grave of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, right? They come back the next morning, it's a pile of rock. There's no building. They built it again. And again it turned into a pile of rock. So they gave up on it, and they put that string around it, around pile of rock, that has this little sign on it in handwriting. That's a great story. In Svart, right at the bottom of the Bezek Forest. It's Mamash at the center, where the road comes in from the bottom and splits in all directions, right in the middle. Omele Abayelur of Safra. Abaye said to Rav Safra, Kisalaktalah. When you go up to Eretz Yisrael, please find out what do they do with livers. The liver. Kavda ma'atombe. What do you do with liver? Now, there's two totally opposite approaches to this. By the way, all of these sugyas are extremely complex because of the different approaches. The lev sugya, where lemaisa, where machmer on lev, that the lev is osur, if it's cooked, and so on. The kal sugya and the liver sugya. Now, the two totally different approaches are, Rabbeinu Tam's approach is that since we said before, the Yalta story, that the kaved is kulay dam, but atayra hi tirata. So if the Torah is matir, that dam, it means that it's never usher, possibly. So even if you cook a liver and the dam comes out, maybe the dam of a liver is not a problem. You don't even need to do what you would normally do for malicha and so on. Yeah, if you're maleach for liver, for sure it would be kosher, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Because after all, malicha is the equivalent of tzliya, and everybody agrees that with tzliya the liver is kosher, so why wouldn't it be kosher with malicha? Of course, this runs completely counter to everything that we do. I mean, got to be crazy to do that. But, you know, it's only the Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. The other approach is exactly the opposite, which Tosus also brings. No. If you cook the liver, let's get one thing straight. Raw is never a problem on anything. You don't have to, if you eat raw meat, you do not have to kosher it at all. Because the blood is only usher if it comes out. If you eat dam evorim that are inside of the evorim, it's never usher. All of the sugyas over here are talking about where either it was tsalui, so then the blood can come out on the thing itself, but that doesn't even require real malicha. We do a light malicha for tsli, but it's not ma'akim. Because there, as soon as it comes out, the fire burns it, because it's on the open heat. Or we're talking about cooking it, and here we're always mechalik. You're cooking it for itself, or you're cooking it with other pieces of meat, like we had that question with the kal. Here the same thing would be true, legabi the liver, but for other reasons, as we'll see. But the opposite approach would be, maybe the liver is so full of blood, since it's hulei dam, you can't be machshir it by salting. And therefore, even though you can eat it in and of itself, but you would never be able to cook it with something else, because once you boil it, so then the blood will come out, will answer everything else. So that's the other approach. Of course, we're machmir in that direction, except that if it's torn open, shesiv erev, or cut into pieces, and so on, and you do tzaliyah, not malicha, not like the Rabbeinu Tam, then after that, you can cook it. That's the mamish, the other extreme. And Tosis brings that became the minhag that all over, they don't rely on the Rabbeinu Tam, the salt liver. But daka, they will have to do tzliya on liver. If you do tzliya with the whole cutting thing, in which either you cut it into pieces or you cut it shesiv erev, then it becomes kosher after tzliya for cooking as well. We'll see the sugya coming up. Good. Under certain circumstances. Because remember, there's always a problem with malicha. The problem with malicha is that once the blood is removed, what prevents the meat from reabsorbing that blood? Now you'll notice when we do malicha, we always do it on a slant or with holes underneath it that the blood goes out of. But the question is, if you're talking about a malicha that doesn't have that, or you're talking about the case where blood is coming out without it being burnt by the fire, such as in tzliya, or you're talking about a case where you put the liver, where even if you want to be matir a liver on its own into water, if it stays in that water, what will prevent it from reabsorbing the dam that went out of it, which the Rabbanan Asard, according to some even the Raisitz Asar, the Rabbanan Asard, why wouldn't it make the liver itself Asar again? These are all sugars that are coming up. So, okay, that's a little bit complicated. So it's not clear, and he didn't make himself clear to Rav Safra, it's not clear what Abaya was asking. Was he asking him about bichlal, whether you can eat liver? Was he asking him about whether if you boil liver without doing tzliya first, whether you're allowed to eat the meat that it's cooked with or cook itself? And Rav Safra assumes that the question that he was asking, as we'll see, had to do with the liver itself. So he tells him, Kisalak talatam, when you get up there, it's Israel, ask them how they're noyig with COVID. So Kisali, when he comes up there, it's Israel, he also finds Reb Zrika. And he asks Reb Zrika, what do you do with liver? Oh, Marle, ana shalke leil rabami. Look, I can tell you that I actually deep-cooked shlak is stew. I have stewed the liver for Gedele Tera, for Rabbi Ami, and he ate it. So obviously, there was no real problem. So he comes back, and he tells Abaye, so Kiyata Lagabe, so Abaye says, well, you didn't understand me. I didn't have, obviously. I didn't want you to ask what's the dinner of a liver that you stew. That was simple to me. Lemeser nafsha lo komi boili. Never occurred to me that the kaved itself should go back into it and aser it. I know that you're allowed to eat liver. I wanted to know. Right. Ki komi boili. Lemeser chaverta. I wanted to know if you're cooking liver with meat, would the dam that comes out of the liver, would it affect the meat that you're cooking with it? Now, we're assuming that the kaved itself wouldn't be usur, because of the fact that since it has so much dam in it, it's in a state of plita, so it's exuding, therefore it doesn't absorb.
Do you have something
there? We shall see when we get to the inyan malich, where it's also nogea. So because of that, I was worried about the piece of meat with it. I wasn't worried about the liver. So he said to him, I don't understand. Now I don't understand you. I mean, because if you were clear, Maishna Lameser Nafsha Delomi Ba'elecha, why when you asked me, see, I thought originally that we're talking about over here another issue in which you had never removed the dam from the liver at all. Now you're telling me you just want to know whether if you cook a liver, whether it will last or anything else. Then I don't understand the question. If you knew that a liver itself is okay, it doesn't aser itself, that happens to be a Mishnah, Maseches Rumah. If you knew that, why didn't you know the rest of it? L'meiser nafsha, lo mibaylecha. The reason that you didn't want me to ask about that is d'tnan eina ne'eseret. So in other words, you understood that the Mishnah said that the liver doesn't become aser. But if you knew that part of the Mishnah, you should know the whole Mishnah. You should not have any doubts on what you're now asking me to ask. Because it also says in the Mishnah, also in Truma, same Mishnah, HaKaved Oseret, the liver will aser other meat, the Einan Ne'eseret, but it itself will never become asura. Bipnei shehi poletet ve'ino bola'at, because it is in a state of exuding blood, still a liver, it will not reabsorb blood. Mashenki and the other things that are being cooked with it will become asur. Now Rav Safra obviously knew this Mishnah before, so why all of a sudden is he asking him from the Mishnah? Now that Abaya says, I always knew about the liver being kosher in itself, all of a sudden Rav Safra pipes up and says, so what the heck do you want me to ask? If you know the Mishnah, why don't you know the whole Mishnah? And why didn't you say that in the first place? When he first went up there, before he went, he should have said, well, I don't get your question. So obviously he had made certain assumptions, right? I mean, so what were those assumptions? Wasn't this a Mishnah before he went up there to Israel also? So he thought, says Tosfos, that there's a difference between shlika and cooking. In other words, the question is, and that's why he brought the story of shlika on Ishalkele. He thought the issue was exactly what you just raised. And that is, okay, maybe for cooking it's in a state of plita. But shlika, it sits there for a long time. You're cooking for hours. So why doesn't it ultimately become nesar? Because it's going to reabsorb its old dam. That's why he asked Rabbi Zrika initially, what are you doing? From Rabbi Zrika's answer, we can see that the question was, he was asking him about shlika because of anashalkele. Why did he bring back anashalkele? I mean, that's the only way he ever prepared liver, because that's what Rav Safra had understood to be the issue. But now that Abaye explained, no, I understood that it can never ask herself. So then what are you asking me to find out? If it can ask her something else, that's the Mishnah. And so Abaye's question was even Babishal, obviously. The whole shlika, that was his imagination. It wasn't what Bishol he did. Yeah, Bishal is just to cook it up and then to take it out. And in the stew, it stays in the pot. So therefore, he's asking him, okay, so did you just set in the Mishnah? So Abaye said to him, how do you know that Mishnah is referring to the dam of the kaved? Maybe what that Mishnah is referring to is where there's another iser that's involved. The question is, if you are cooking a kaved that's kosher with a kaved that is not kosher, let's say a kaved of a treifa animal, does the exudation of the kaved prevent it from absorbing even shamnunis of isura? That's the question. So because of the unique situation of the ribui dam in the kaved, in which in a state where the moment that it's heated, it starts giving off its content. So maybe that prevents it from absorbing shamnuni. That's my question. If that's the pshat in the Mishnah, then the Mishnah was never talking about this issue at all.
And Abaye to him, Omalei, Dilma Asa Mekavta de Yisura, Mishum Shamnunis. I'm asking about Mishum Dam. Now, why not understand possibly that Mishnah? I mean, I can't be sure. Maybe what the Mishnah is saying is that if you have a kaved, which is itself a kaved of a treva, so then it would aser things that are cooked with it, And that way, it's even though it's dam might aser, not aser, but it's shamnunis will aser. On the other hand, if the kaved is itself a kosher kaved, and you cooked it with treifa, it will not become asura. Maybe that's the point. It's not referring bechlal to its dam. The reason that it would not become asura is because since it is so filled with blood, that it's constantly in a state of plita. When something is in a state of plita, it doesn't have an opportunity to be bolea. But it could well be that dam that comes out of it won't aser anything else, because you might learn that since the essence of the kaved is dam, the Torah was moderate, so maybe there was never any iser. So even though we're going to see later on that we do not say this kind of thing, that when something is perle dam, let's say when it's salted, we don't say that because it's being perle dam when it's salted, that therefore even if it's together with iser, it's not going to be berlea, something that is chelev or trefa, that is, it has shamnunis in it. But over here, says the Rashba, it's different, because the kaved is particularly filled with liquid, filled with dam, and because of that, it's giving off at such a tremendous rate that it is not bolea at all. Now, there is another approach of those Rishonim who don't believe that it won't be bolea at all. And they understand that the cases are referring to two separate things. There is a buyer would understand that maybe the Mishnah was talking about two cases, not all one case. In other words, a kaved is oseret. That's talking about where you have two kaveds being cooked together. One is a treva, and then it will asa the other one because of shamnuni, but not because of dam. In the next case, which is the seifa, it's dam saying that if a kaved is cooked on its own, then it never becomes aser because of the dam that comes out of itself. Of the dam itself will aser. So he went back. When he went back the next time to Erzal, he also bumped into Rabbi Zriha, and he explained to him that he had made a mistake initially. He wasn't really asking about Shalika. He was asking about whether there is a problem of tarfas in a kaved, or do we say that a kaved is baklal not bolea? So Rabbi Zriha said to him, oh, that's an interesting one, but I also have proof about that. Because you shouldn't even ask about that either. Because I once went with my friend Yanai, Rabami's son. So we went to review the Bereder of Shimon ben Pazi. Now, they used to do the weirdest things when the Talmidim would come in order to challenge them. Okay, you're going to eat, you're not going to eat. You're like the old test of the chosim. You know, you bring him to the table, you got all the different minim on the table. Let's see which, does he know which one you're supposed to make a bracha on first? If he doesn't know, forget it. You're not for my daughter. Next, please.
What does somebody think about the Basia, where one's allowed to lie about one of
the No, but we test him. It won't help him to lie.
But that's it. He's going to say he doesn't know.
You mean he's going to be a big unav?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Oh, so you should walk in with a little I am an unav sign.
Yeah, like,
but in Litta, that didn't go. They weren't interested in the unavs. Okay, so what they did to us was, this is pretty sick, what they did is they brought the entire hane. So in other words, if you pick up the windpipe of a cow, attached to it are the internal organs. Okay, it's got a heart, it's got a covet, and lungs, everything is attached. And they stuck the whole thing into a pot and cooked it up together. No. They had to kosher the other part, but they didn't kosher the covet. Why would anybody do this? Just to drive the Talmidim crazy. Now let's see what you guys are going to do. So what happened was they krivel on kanya bakup. They brought us the kana with everything that was attached to it, the lungs, the liver, the hearts, that they had all cooked together. And we ate. And they said we passed the test. So apparently it was okay. So in other words, the kaved did not aser everything else that was in the pot. So there's your answer.
So they saw
the
thing
better? Yeah. Exactly. Matkifla Ravashi Vitemer Bushmum is Rukinia. Zrukini. I'm telling you that the level of the humor in the names are just. Zrukini means throw out the kana with everything that's attached to it. It's hilarious the way they always fill this in. Yeah. So anyway. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah, everybody's with Zorek, the Kachalim. The whole thing revolves around these weird terms of the people that are involved. So, how do you know? Dilma Pikone Chutz Likadera having, maybe, since the hepatic vein
end up, they'll all gush out if you do this. Everything is going to gush out through the connection to the lungs and come out from the kana, come out of the windpipe. So maybe as you heated it, all that blood was coming out of the top of the windpipe that was held outside of the pot. And then it would be the equivalent of having removed the blood before, which we said would be okay. You're taking for granted that just because the COVID was attached to the kanya, therefore it must mean that it was all cooked together. There was no problem. But they may have relied on that whole issue to see if you could pick up that problem. So are you sure that that's not what happened? Or, inami, mikla tavichot meikara. It may also be possible that it was cauterized in advance before you saw it. If they cauterized it, so then it would have prevented any dam from coming out, and it would have been cooked inside of it. And we said, if it wasn't porish, for sure there's no problem. The only problem is dam that's porish. But this is true of all meats.
So you could cauterize it in boiling water.
Correct. So how do you know it wasn't just put directly in and cauterized?
They put the meat, cauterized, boiling for the water.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
For all their meat?
Yeah, that's a whole shaila, whether what you do with the water, that the water, so we're going to have all of this later. And you don't even need boiling hot water. You can even use vinegar to cauterize. Because ki hadaravuna chalti le bechala. He used to use vinegar to be cholate, and that would prevent the dam from coming out. And then there would be no problem, and then you could cook it together with meat. Rav Nachman used boiling hot water. Nachman bechalti le berotchin. And actually, because of that, Rav Papa thought that the challah itself that you had used, the same question you just brought up, what about the liquid you used to do the cauterization? So he told Rava, in my opinion, the chometz itself is usur, because, I mean, that first moment, some of the blood comes out as the cauterizing agent is working on the meat, and it absorbs some of that blood, and that blood is dam that was perish from the aver, and it's usur. And that's what he said. Rava said to him, no, my dear friend, ichalo asir iunami asir. Let me tell you something. If the vinegar is a problem, then so is the meat. Because ki echa de poli tatar bola. If you think the vinegar is a problem in absorbing, then the vinegar will now reinsert the dam into the meat. And therefore, the same way that it's going to be poli its dam, the meat will be poli its dam, the COVID will poli its dam, it's going to absorb in its place vinegar. But that vinegar already had dominance. According to you, can't have it both ways. If this is okay to be machsha delivered, then the vinegar itself has to be okay. This is as far as the yema. We'll discuss all of these issues as we continue on this exciting sugya, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Gisalik Rabbi Elazar. at all. I can tell you, Rav Bika Matseva Gadar Bageder, the Rav Iklo the Tadalfush, Shama Laita the Kamal Haverta, River the Bisra Kamachalba Bailovishule. Omar, what the heck? Look, Gamir the Vasbachal of Osir? Yaki Vikosa Lukachle. That's Rav Kana's version. Now, Rav Yosi Bar Abba's version of what happened is that indeed he was shown Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi to speak to. And in this version, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi said, I did tell him, Ana kal shami nikash and nitilot it was aser. And what confused him was, Pilpulosh Rabbi Chia, shana le kachal stam, and he misunderstood. Ravin, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, iklu levei Rav Papi, haitu lekamayu tafshila dekhal. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef achal, Ravin lo achal. Amar Abaye, the heck does Ravin tachla mai lo achal? Mirte, the vita of Rav Papa is part of the Rav Yitzchak Nafcha voy. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha was a more de uvda ave. He loved the shmiel and bebeinash lo avde avde. And besura lo achli kachli, bepumbadita achli kachli. Rami bar Tamri, du Rami bar Dikule mi pumbadita, ikla lesura bamala yuma de kipure. Avkinu kuli amala kachlinu and shadinu. Ozal ihu naktino achlino. This is as soon as I'm a second here, you know. I too look at the Rav Chista. Amalei, amai tavi dachi. Amalei, why not? Miata the Rav Yudana, the kacha. Amalei, velet lachanot imelav, chumrei amakom shiatzam isham, chumrei amakom shahal kasham.
אבל חוץ לתחום החתינו. ובמה תוויתינו? אבל בפורצני. ודומה מי עין נזר אבוי? היה שני מסוכן שעבי. דום לגזל אבי. יש בעלו עם אבי. זה קטר בקילפי. חזר לו אבא מנח תפילין. אמר לי, אה, מי טיים על המנח לתפילין? אמר לי, חולו מי עין אבוי. ואומר, יהודה חולו מי עין פוטו מן התפילין. חזר לו אבא קורא מחוטי. אמר לי, אה, מי טיים על אסתר החוטי. אמר לי, תלית שולה היא. ואמר, יהודה תלית שולה, כל 30 יום פטורה מן הציצית. הדרכי, הייתו לה, הוא גבר, דלה וכמו כרבו אבי אימא, כפתוהו. אמר לו, אוקיי, שפקו נא, תנא כל מצוות עשה שמתן שכרה בצדה, אין בית דין שלו, מה אתה מוזרין עליה? אמר לי, חזין לך את החריף את הטובה. אמר לי, יאווה באת את רבי יהודה, אכביר לך חורפאי. אמר לי, הביילר, ספרה, כי צלקת להתם, בואי מנה קו דמה אתון בי, כי סולק אשכל רב זריקה, אמר לי, אני שלקה לרבני, and he was perfectly happy, and he ate stewed liver. כי אותו לגבי, אמר, I never wanted to know about the liver itself, למעשה נפש לא קמי בוילה, even stewed, כי קמי בוילה למעשה חברתה. So how come you don't know that, said Reb Safra, מה שלמעשה נפש לא קמי בוילה, because you knew, דתנן אין אין אסרת, so then למעשה חברתה is the same Mishnah, נמי לא תיבוי לך, דתנן הכבד אוסרת ואין אין אסרת, מפני שהיא פולטת ואין לו בולעת. אמר לי, how do you know that that's not referring to Kavda de Yisura? And the question over there was purely a matter of Shamnunit. And therefore, would Aser. I'm asking what the din is Mishum Dama. My. Ki oda salak ashkel rebzriko. Amar lei, oh, I got an answer even for that. Hainami lo ti boi lecha. Da ana v'yanai breda rabami iklaan lave Yehuda breda rav Shimon ben Pazi ukrivalan kanya bekupya v'achalna. Matke v'ar rav Ashvi ten rav Shmuel mezrukinia v'dilma pi kona chutz l'kedera have inami michlat avicholet le meikora ki oda ravuna chalti le bechala and renach v'chalti le berotchin. Actually, Sovra of Popek, I made a rav l'meimah that the chala is us, and rav said even the chala is mutter. Chala being the vinegar. Chala usir, then the whole thing should be usir because it was polit, it was going to end up now, hadar bola would reach an equilibrium with the vinegar.